You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. It's me, Tariq Youssef, neuroscience PhD student. We're so happy to have you on No BS Nutrition, and I'm joined by...
I am registered dietitian Hannah McGee, and welcome.
Yeah. Hannah, it's so lovely to be talking to you.
I have no words.
Okay. Just so you all know, this is take two.
Oh, gosh.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Honestly, we're due for one. It's
You're
been
right.
a while
You're
since
right.
this has happened to us.
Yeah.
In the first take, maybe this is a great opportunity as well. In the first take, I really hit us with some interesting news right off the bat. maybe this time we could talk about something completely different. We've recently had an engagement in our life, in our family. Another one.
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah,
You're
very
engaged.
Exciting.
Now Caitlin's engaged.
Family engagements.
Family engagements.
Family weddings.
Family weddings. I'm really excited. You know, weddings are still going on. I know people are getting invitations to weddings. People are planning for next year. They're like, next year there will be no pandemic. And I love the optimism. We're all going to be vaccinated, etc. Let's plan for it. You might as well, right? Who knows? Life is short. And there's a lot of weddings being planned right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what to do. I mean, I'm in that boat. So,
right.
My wedding as of right now is...
Beep! Just kidding.
No, I'm hoping for the end of 2022. So yeah. It won't be... I know a lot of people are banking on summer 2022.
Springing it up. Summer, yeah.
Yeah, but I honestly, I mean, I think I would hope that by then you can have a, you know, have a wedding
so.
At least, you know, you
I
might
would
not
say
be
it, probably.
Internationally traveling and doing all of that stuff.
Sure.
Although some people I'm sure will hope for that as well. I mean, I hope for that. I hope for that, but you never know. But yeah, end of 2022 is my goal, but we'll see. You never know how things are going to unfold. It's unfortunate.
I really think it's nice to have something to look forward to because that's kind of rare right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like from your perspective, but I know at least as a student, like there was always in the back of my mind, I was like, if I can work hard this season, I can really prepare to go to a conference and I'll get to travel and like meet new people. I'll be so much fun. Like maybe I'll get to go somewhere in the world that I've never been to before. And obviously that just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's sad. I was complaining to my parents the other day. I was like, I just feel like this last year, 2020, now 2021. I mean, I was 25, now I'm 26.
Oh God, you're so old.
By the end of the year,
God.
I'll be 20. No, I'm not at all. But no, but that's the point. The problem is that
I'm young now.
I'm
yeah,
young and I'm sitting at home doing nothing. I'm not traveling. I'm not like going out and experiencing things that, you know, maybe in my 30s, I might not be able to if I have a family or things like that.
Sure.
So I was like really complaining about that because it's like, you know, I don't have any dependents.
I totally get what you mean.
I have a good job and things like that, but I can't enjoy it really outside of my own home.
Sure.
Obviously, I'm so privileged and I'm just, there are obviously worse things.
Of course.
Yeah.
It is really interesting though, because like, we were so lucky to be so used to whatever, like, yeah, we'll work really hard and like, we'll give ourselves this reward. But yeah, that's kind of, everybody's had to get really creative these days about how to enjoy. There's a lot of staycationing happening and I'm really like, I'm of two minds about it. I love a good staycation, but I'm part of me is like, why don't we just stay at home? Like,
right.
Do we really
instead
have to go
staycation.
Like 30
yeah.
minutes down the road?
Like, I get that.
I'm good here.
Yeah. And but, save the money.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been around the world. I know that's so privileged to say. Like, I want to. I really want to go, though. I want to see everything.
Yeah, same.
I want to see everyone who listens to the podcast.
We'll visit come everyone.
Visit your home individually. We're going to
knock on your door.
Individually meet all of you.
Yeah.
Hey, we've heard you were listening to the podcast. Do you want to give any coffee or something? You want to let us in?
Why haven't you left a review? A rating and review. Yeah.
We're coming to visit everyone who hasn't left a 5-star review. And we're going to be waiting, watching you pull out your phone. Until then, until that moment that everybody's obviously excited for, everybody's looking for the Google form to sign up to leave their address for us to come visit them. Until that moment, until we get the government funding to do that. Hannah, McGee, RD, do you have a BS of the week?
You know I do. Okay. Because we've already talked about it until we realized we did. My audio wasn't recording.
You were being sabotaged, I think. It wasn't your fault.
I think I was being sabotaged, yeah. So I was really fired up about this, and I'm going to get myself just as fired up.
I believe in you.
The second time around. But so what I want to talk about today, and I already explained this to you, is that I want to – there's two different ways like we could talk about this, and I want to talk about like the diet culture side of it, not necessarily like the debunking side of it.
Sure.
So I came across this new diet or a new book on Twitter recently called Intuitive Fasting.
Everybody's going, huh?
Huh?
Intuitive Fasting?
Yes. Intuitive Fasting.
Mashup.
And,
remix.
Right. Yeah. Mash. Seriously. It's a mashup. And luckily, I mean, the person that tweeted it had tweeted a photo of the book and said, like, just so you know, this is bullshit. So it was nice to see that someone already was critiquing it and it wasn't like someone promoting it.
Sure.
It just, I guess that shows me that I'm living on the right side of Twitter. But,
and of course, if you do want a 10% off Intuitive Fasting, use our discount code NoBSNutrition.
Yeah. But so, okay, so this Intuitive Fasting concept, Intuitive Fasting book, is written by a man named Dr. Will Cole. And he, we have determined, is a doctor of chiropractic medicine. Is that the right term?
Big Billy. Yeah.
So he is also the best-selling author of a book called The Ketotarian and the Inflammation Spectrum. So just so you can get a good grasp on who he is.
You get a grasp that he has no grasp of any of this information.
Right. So it says on the website, on his website, that intuitive fasting is the new fasting plan to amplify health benefits, balance rest and repair, and enjoy nutrient-dense, delicious foods. So there's this huge spiel about the book, about how the way we eat in this day and age isn't helping our health, you know, eating every few hours, that apparently is what we're told to do by all the experts.
It's killing us.
Basically, that our bodies aren't actually supposed to do that, and that, you know, historically, you know, our bodies...
I hate that argument.
I know. Historically, our bodies have functioned best. Yeah, with periods of fasting. And it's like, because they couldn't find food. Like, they
were dying because of it.
They died when they were 30. But okay, you know, that's how our bodies... He says that our bodies function best with periodic times of fasting.
Why did we bother inventing cooking or fires or just civilizations?
Why do we
agriculture?
Eat?
Like, why are we even bothering with any of this?
Right, exactly.
He should move to the woods. That's what I think.
Or a cave.
I think I'm actually, like, Ice Bucket Challenge, Dr. Bill Challenge, you move to the woods. Tell us how that goes for a few months, okay? No electricity, no clean water. Figure it out.
Did you mean to call him Bill?
Isn't that his name, William?
Well, yeah, no, I didn't know if you misheard me or if you were just joking.
First name basis.
Yeah, okay. So, anyways, he talks about, you know, how eating three meals a day every day can cause something called metabolic inflexibility, which he does not explain what that is. I'm sure if you buy
just one second, I'm looking that up everywhere and any book and on every website on the internet. Just checking. Nope, that doesn't exist.
Right, exactly. And he says that metabolic inflexibility can lead to inflammation, easily lead, not just lead, sure. can easily lead mm-hmm. to inflammation, weight gain,
quick
fatigue, and chronic health problems. So this is what he's saying, and his approach to fasting, intuitive fasting, can supposedly reverse or, you know, help with all of that. So he says that through making intermittent fasting intuitive, it will give you the ability to take control of your hunger, get in touch with your instinctive eating patterns, and become healthier and more mindful about how and when you eat. I feel like it will make you more mindful about when you eat because you literally are restricted to a time window.
Not eating.
Like, if that's what he's referring to, okay, sure.
This is like our last episode. We were talking about how often when dieting and through disordered eating behaviors, people are forced to constantly think about food and think about when they're eating. Yeah. Like, this is a great example of a diet that would do that.
Totally. Oh, totally. Yeah. If you are hungry, but you're like not in your eating window, you would just constantly watching the clock, thinking about food. Yeah. So anyways, I didn't go into this wanting to debunk all of these things, but what I did want to address is just that he's just co-opting intuitive eating or like a non-diet principle or framework and co-opting it into a diet, which I know so many professionals and so many diets and fitness plans are doing these days because we've seen how popular intuitive eating and anti-diet, you know, the anti-diet movement is, that everyone is trying to, you know, use a piece of it to sell their own diet or their own plan or whatever it is. And that's exactly what this guy is doing. And it's total bullshit. Like,
it's like if someone was like, this new lifestyle, health at every size from a 00 to a 2.
Right. That's exactly. It's like intuitive eating and intermittent fasting don't go together because you can't put a time block like on or a window on your when you can and can't eat and call it intuitive. Like, it just because intuitive eating is
you're enforcing a rule, which the whole point is like to not.
If this guy had read intuitive eating, which you think would be like the bare minimum, like research to do if you're going to call something intuitive around diet. Like, if you're going to call something intuitive eating or like along the lines of intuitive eating, you'd think you would have at least read intuitive eating and understand the principles. Can I ask you something? You can.
Do you think he wrote the book? Do you think these people are actually writing these books, or are they hiring ghostwriters to be like, hey, I just need you to crap out like 15 chapters about nothing?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I honestly, I don't know who this guy is. Like, if it was someone that I knew a little bit, you know, had heard of before, I might be able to speak to that, but I have no clue. But it's very possible. So in our first take of recording this, I asked Tarek, or I surprised Tarek with with the person who wrote the foreword for this book, and it's very telling.
Chancellor Angela Merkel. Everyone's like, whoa, I didn't see that coming.
No. It's very telling because if you know what this person is all about, then you can kind of see what this book will be about. So the foreword for Intuitive Fasting was written by none other than Gwyneth Paltrow, who is known for her absolute BS wellness empire goop and all the pseudoscience that, you know, that she spreads via that website. So she wrote the foreword saying that she's tried every diet in the book. She, not in this book, but in the metaphorical book.
The metaphorical book. Yes. The proverbial book.
Yes. And only one thing has worked: intuitive eating. So she's saying that.
Hold up.
Yeah, exactly. This book is going to teach you how to eat intuitively. But in reality, we know it's not. So.
Right.
Anyways, I mean, really, it just fired me up because it was just another thing co-opting non-diet language to sell a diet. And we've seen that before. Obviously, we just talked about WW, and they, you know, said that they're all about wellness now and not about weight, and they're whatever they said. And in reality, when we took a deep dive,
but definitely
and
record
at it,
your weight. Definitely record
right,
your weight.
Definitely
but don't worry,
record
we're not
your
about
weight,
weight.
And weigh yourself weekly and yeah, track all your food.
That's not what this is about, though.
Yeah, but it's not about your weight. So yeah. Anyways, I mean, I feel sad that there's so much of this out there, and that people are like, people eat this up, and they, mm-hmm, you know, no pun intended, and they,
no pun,
mm-hmm, they, I don't know, they like plans like this. They see that it's written by Dr. So-and-so, and they think, oh, it must be legit, or they must know what they're talking about. And it's just another set of rules, I'm sure, because it says, mm-hmm, there's a 4-week fasting plan in the book. Just another set of rules that they're going to tell you to follow. And in reality, that's not, yeah, what intuitive eating is.
I, you know, I'm really, really happy you shared this BS of the week. I'm really happy the way that you are. I mean, obviously, we all know that the nutrition side of everything that he's saying is total bupkis, but the diet culture side of it is really dangerous. And I do hope that, you know, the younger generation is growing up with available sources of information that are debunking garbage. And hopefully that they're able to catch red flags, right? But I do think because of the speed with which people who are trying to take advantage of others are co-opting, you know, new language to do with real health and real wellness, like intuitive eating, that it does become dangerous because there's the evolution of the diet industry is just as fast, if not faster, than the general public's ability to learn about how these things are really harmful.
Yeah.
These new things that are cropping up time and time again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So oh. I don't know. I mean, hopefully, like, we win out in the end.
Yeah. But, yeah, for sure. And like,
but with someone like Gwyneth Paltrow behind him, sounds like it'll get a lot of press.
Right. And it seemed like he's pretty popular just from looking at his website. So I'm sure it will as well. But, and I just wanted to say as well that, you know, I'm not even sitting here saying like you have to eat intuitively. Like you actually have to read intuitive eating and follow that. And I'm not saying that at all because I know that, I don't know. I just feel like in this world, if you say one thing, like you're on one side, then people think
sure,
you're totally
sure
anti everything else. But I'm just saying that, like, this isn't intuitive eating. Like,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah.
Just,
some people, yeah. No, I was just gonna say, not everybody needs to necessarily have a relationship with food, and like, if someone doesn't, that's their thing. But this is definitely not a healthy way to have one if you're going to be having a healthy relationship with food or a relationship with food at all.
Yeah,
this intuitive fasting thing,
right? And I just fear that people are going to think that you can eat intuitively and do this diet, or you can eat mm-hmm. intuitively and be pursuing weight loss and things like that, when in reality, like, you can eat intuitively and care for your health, but you can't really eat intuitively and stick to rigid diet rules or anything like that. And we talked about in the last right. episode, like, anything that is controlling your eating, anything external, like external factors that are determining how, when, how much, where, etc., that you eat, that's mm-hmm. a diet rule. Like, it's a diet. It's not
right.
It's not part of intuitive eating. So just to set the record straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Hannah. Very interesting. Very of the moment. So it's good to keep up on these kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. Okay, so we are going to have a little chat in this episode. Another topic that was requested by some listeners. So we want to talk about how to approach or how to avoid or how to get around or ditch diet talk and diet culture kind of discussions, diet culture related discussions in social situations. You know, when your best friend is talking about how she just hates how much junk food her boyfriend keeps in the house. Or when your coworker is talking about their new intermittent fasting diet, their intuitive fasting diet, that they're trying out and they've lost X amount of pounds and everyone else in the office should try it. Or when, you know, you're out with a group of friends and they're saying, oh, we might, let's go get burgers. Like, we've all been so good this week. We deserve it. We just went for a walk. Well, let's get burgers. We deserve it. Whatever. Those are all kind of diet, like diet mentality discussions, right?
Or when you're a university level national competitive cheerleader and your mom calls you and tells you that jackfruit keeps you full for 8 hours. And are you eating clean? Yeah. These are some things you can do.
Right.
Can I just say something really quickly?
Absolutely.
The word ditch harkens a real memory for me from my past.
Okay. Did you fall into a ditch?
No. When I was younger in grade school, very young, before high school, our favorite teacher was our social studies teacher in this class, this group of friends and I. We really loved her. She was the best. She's amazing. And we really wanted her to be there at graduation day. And she wasn't, like, she couldn't be there. I don't know what it was. I can't really remember why she couldn't be there. We really missed her. We told her, oh, we like really wanted to see you like last day of school. Like, we just want to hang out with you for like a little bit at the end of the day. So she couldn't be there. I don't know why. Anyway, she wasn't there. So we were all like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Like, we really miss her. And then I don't know why we thought this would be funny, but we decided we'd go to her classroom door and on individual pieces of loose leaf all down the front of her door, we wrote ditcher, like, you ditched us. You're a ditcher. And then I don't know, maybe hours later, because it was still during the school day, she found out. She was really mad. She was like, whoa, who did this? Who wrote this? Because she thought it said, instead of D-I-C-T-H-E-R, she thought it said B-I-T-C-H-E-R. She's like, who would write this on my door? We're like, no, like, we love you.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You ditched us. Anyway, so that's my ditch story. And let's talk about the main topic. I'm really excited to hear what you have to say. I've had so many of these instances.
Same.
And especially since we started the podcast and my own language for confronting diet culture has improved. I've had more and more of these situations because I felt braver. Not only was I picking up on them more often, but I've also felt braver in confronting them.
Nice.
Do you mind if I start off with like a really general thing?
Absolutely.
And then we can kind of get into some more stuff. Obviously, we're going to be talking about how to tackle diet culture in social situations, or how to ditch diet culture in social situations. Hashtag ditcher. But I think one way that we all need to remember, and I even need to remind myself sometimes, although thankfully it's getting less and less with time, don't talk about eating behaviors and diets in conversations. Like, try to limit that kind of conversation, because that might perpetuate conversations that you didn't even think were related, that were more disordered than you even wanted to talk about. And these things can like get out of control, and it can kind of be a snowball effect. So if you even happen to be thinking to yourself, like what Hannah said, like, oh, I I really like earned this meal or something, or like I had a big workout and I'm really gonna like, I'm gonna really go for it with this meal. And you almost don't mean nothing of it, you know, like there's no bad intention there.
Yeah.
But that kind of talk could influence somebody else to constantly, it could, to then be thinking about their own eating behaviors, and maybe like it can even spiral to things like body image. These things, like, it can spiral really quickly. And we've talked in previous episodes about how people who talk about their bodies and people who talk about their eating behaviors more frequently often trigger negative emotions in people who, like, whatever, have a low or like have low confidence or like poor body image.
Yeah.
So in general, I would say like a good rule is to try to avoid those conversations where you feel like what you're about to say kind of slips into like whatever, commenting on a disordered behavior or like feeding into diet culture a little bit.
Right.
Even if you don't mean for it to be negative, that kind of thing can in fact perpetuate a downhill spiral that you didn't want to get into.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's really interesting. It's almost having that, like, having a little bit of mindfulness just at all times, you know, around what you're going to say or what you, like, what you're about to say could snowball into. That's really, yeah, that's insightful, and it's important to think about for sure. Yeah, because I think, obviously, like, we're going to talk about when the
kind
diet
the
culture
yeah.
situations come up, how to address them, but we can also play a role in you know, not ensuring, but you know,
kind of instigating
exactly, like preventing them from happening sometimes. So
right
that's interesting. Yeah, so I have like three main tips for addressing or kind of avoiding or whatever diet talk in social situations. So maybe we'll just run through them, and they might be similar to what you were going
to
say. And
to see.
Yeah, we can just discuss. So the first one that I have is to change the subject. So
love it.
That's, you know, like in a kind of like avoiding, you know, if someone says something directly to you or in conversation with a group about their diet or, you know, something that you feel could snowball into, you know, a talk about diet rules or your weight or certain habits like that. Number one really is just to change the subject. I've done this plenty of times in conversation where, especially as a dietitian, where whether it is that I meet someone and they find out I'm a dietitian and they automatically start telling me about their view on nutrition and the way that they eat.
Right.
And, you know, so, and I just don't want to talk about it, or, you know, it's in conversation with friends and, something comes up that I'm uncomfortable with. And I don't really feel like getting into the nitty gritty of like why, you know, why we shouldn't be talking this way or why that might be offensive to some people or harmful to some people. Simply changing the subject helps. You know, you can even pretend that like you didn't even really hear them and just kind of say like, oh, did you see so-and-so got engaged? Or like, oh, did you hear this on the news? Or, you know, whatever it is, just like, to me, I think the more like innocent that you can make it look, the better, you know, like it, almost as if you just weren't paying attention and you're just changing the subject. Not that, you know, you don't really have to like, you don't have to roll your eyes and like make it evident that you're annoyed at the conversation. You can just kind of say, you know, just lightly say, oh, what about this? Did you hear about this or whatever?
Right.
Yeah. What do
I
you
love
think?
That. I actually, it's interesting. That was your first point, because mine is very, very similar. I think in those kinds of situations, more often than not, it's probably always better to just say like nothing at all if you're unsure of how to tackle it.
Yeah.
Like, especially like changing the topic is perfect, because if it's someone you don't even really know that well, like someone you're not very comfortable talking to, this is not your, it's not your responsibility to like shoulder the burden of teaching everybody mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. about diet culture and about mm-hmm. About how to like whatever like decolonize your their eating. You know what I mean? Like those are important conversations and they're definitely necessary and spending that time can be very worthwhile, but mm-hmm. it's not something you have to do every single day. And if you don't add to the conversation, it's like not going to go any further. Like the person will just be like talking to a brick wall at that point.
Totally.
So I totally agree. Like changing the topic is wonderful. Those conversations don't merit a response, really. They're never going to go anywhere productive. Mm-hmm. It definitely is probably an opportunity for that person to learn. But having said that, it's not your responsibility to teach them. You changing the topic or you not responding to that kind of topic is almost even a learning moment for that person to be like, oh, maybe I hit a nerve there. Like that, they might think like, this is maybe something that like the person I'm talking to didn't react too well. They didn't respond to it. So like, I guess we can't talk about this.
Right.
And like, maybe they'll go away from that having thought like, this is a topic that I shouldn't be touching or something like that. They might pick up on that. Not everybody's really good at those cues because they can be subtle, but maybe they will be learning from that.
That's a really good point. And I think it also, with these tips, it also depends on your level of comfort with the situation and the people that you're interacting with, because some responses or some ways to address these conversations might be different depending on who it is, you know, like if it's if it's your boss or something like that, and you're trying to impress them, you obviously don't want to appear rude and like you're not listening and whatever. But if it's your a friend or a group of friends, that maybe it's easier to just kind of say nothing let them get the point that you're not engaging in this conversation, then this specific tip around changing the subject might be more helpful, or even just saying nothing at all. So
totally,
I think that's important to note as well. So the second one that I have is to, again, and this will also depend on your relationships with whoever is doing this diet talk, but number two is to set boundaries. So this is like, if, you know, you feel comfortable with this person and you feel comfortable setting boundaries with them, you know, can you say, hey, I'm currently working on my relationship with food, or I'm currently healing or trying to improve my body image, I have, you know, a history of disordered eating or whatever it is, and it's not helpful for me to talk about diets or even like label food in certain ways or mm-hmm. whatever it is that you're not comfortable with that's coming up. Like, can you kind of just mention, hey, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, is it okay if we don't talk about that? Or, you know, like mm-hmm. when we're together, we don't discuss that.
Totally. I think being honest is really undervalued for two reasons. Obviously, you get the benefit of, like you said, setting boundaries, which is really important. But I think being honest sometimes surprises people because they almost don't expect you to be so upfront and to be vulnerable that way. And I think more likely than not, it's going to elicit a positive outcome for you because nobody's expecting you to say like, you know, this kind of conversation is really tough for me to hear and it hurts my feelings. Someone's gonna be like, oh I didn't mean it like that. So, and I was thinking too, when I was prepping for this, thinking about how I've reacted before, and I have reacted in ways that have matched somebody who like was being really rude, like saying really terrible things, like really fat phobic things. And I've reacted at their level and like raised my voice and said this was inappropriate, whatever. But I've also thought over the years, at least for me, it's almost better not to escalate the situation. And you can do things differently. And being honest is one way about that. Like I said, it can surprise people and it can work in your benefit. It also can be as easy as, like Hannah said, like setting those boundaries, saying you're not comfortable. It can be as easy as that, or as easy as saying, like, this is something kind of unnecessary to talk about. And you might be hurting people's feelings by saying this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even have to make it about yourself even. You can kind of say, like, this kind of talk can be hurtful towards other people.
Yeah.
Or even say the usually these things can come about through humor, and you can be totally honest and say, this is not funny.
Yeah.
Like, I don't find this funny.
Yeah.
And that kind of talk can hurt other people's feelings.
Yeah.
So that also sets those boundaries in a way. And you can say it in a way where, like, you're not matching their tone of voice, you're not screaming at them, etc. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
It can be hard and it takes practice, but staying calm and being honest can be a really powerful tool.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, like, I struggle with that unless it's, like, unless it's really close friends or family of mine that I'm, like, completely comfortable with. I struggle setting boundaries around things like that and saying, like, oh, actually, that's not funny, or saying, mm-hmm. You know, that I'm not interested really in talking about that or whatever. I really struggle with that because, you know, we all want to be liked and accepted. We all want to, you know, we don't want to be like an outsider when we're in our group of friends or things like that. We mm-hmm. don't want to be like alienated and isolated from the conversation. But yeah, so I just wanted everyone listening to know that, like, it's not an easy thing to do.
It's hard.
I will also say it's interesting that you said, like, that, like, you said you could almost make it not about yourself, and mm-hmm. which is interesting, and I can see why that might be helpful in certain situations, but then I can also see in other situations why it might be better. You really have to gauge the like the manner and the tone and temperament of the people that you're around, because I think in some situations, if you make it about other people and say, like, that could really be hurtful to other people, or if you say, frankly, that's not funny, that could, like, piss off the people that you are that you're with, depending on what kind of level they're at or
that
what their temperament is. You know what I mean?
Sense.
Whereas if you, in some situations, if you do say, I feel like, you know, this could be, or this is hurtful to me, or I feel like mm-hmm. because I've had these experiences, I don't like to talk about that, or can we not talk about that? If you, sometimes if you do make it about yourself, then it almost, like, makes people, I don't know, it just doesn't.
It's a very powerful thing to make that I statement, like, and to take on the responsibility of being like, I'm being hurt right now. That is really powerful. Well, you're totally right.
I just feel like it's sometimes less inflammatory. Like, if you're just like, I feel like talking about dieting isn't interesting to me, or I feel like, then it just, like, I don't know, like, it makes, it's not potentially hurtful to the person that you're talking to, even though obviously we don't want anyone talking about dieting and whatnot, but
that makes sense.
Does it make sense what I'm saying?
No, I totally see that, and you're so right about gauging situations. Like, in those situations, you're always trying, because it's vulnerable to make it about yourself, whatever. You're always gauging, like, what are the pros and cons of this? Like, how might this turn out, like, based on this person's temperament, like you were saying? And you're right, it is really difficult. And it does, like, hopefully people don't have to practice this. Like, hopefully they don't get into these experiences enough that they do. But with time, like, it does get easier. And the first time someone does something like that, it can be, it's really scary. But personally, I felt very, like, powerful and, like, very euphoric when I've, like, really stood there, like, made that boundary, because that the person isn't expecting it on the other side of that. And you almost feel like, oh, I had it in me all along. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Matching someone else's level or not matching someone else's level.
Not,
like, if someone is really, like, escalated, or, you know, they want to know why you you don't agree with them, or you're not participating in the conversation, or whatever. I think it's important to kind of, if you're going to like shut down the diet talk and say like, you know, diets don't work, or if you're going to say, this is fat phobic, or this is harmful, or whatever it is, to try and do it as much as like, as much as diet culture and dieting and, you know, potentially harmful rules and restrictions, make me angry, and I'm sure make people listening angry and make you angry, it's not always helpful. Most times it's really not helpful to get angry at other people about it.
Right. Exactly.
And there's a few reasons. I mean, number one is that when it comes down to it, it's not even the other person's fault or the other people's fault. Whoever you're talking to, whoever's making these comments that you're uncomfortable with, it's not even their fault.
It's like Michael Scott said, society made me that way.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. It's ultimately a societal issue and like a systemic issue. And that's what diet culture is. And we're all influenced by it, and we've all grown up with it. So we all have these, just like inherent beliefs that's all we've known. And even though they're wrong, it's just so ingrained in our society that it's not even their fault, and they're not a bad person because they might comment on someone's weight, or because they go on a diet, or they're whatever it is. So that's number one, is that's why we shouldn't like get angry at the person that's talking about diets or demonizing food or whatever it is. And then the other reason is that I learned this from our discussion in season two with Dr. Sajjad Faisal about like basically addressing misinformation and pseudoscience and things like that. And he talked about having a lot of compassion and in conversations when you're addressing misinformation or when you're addressing diet culture, because people just don't respond well, in my experience anyways, with like, if you're just like sarcastic and, you know, equally sarcastic or equally rude, or you just reply, you know, you make someone feel stupid because of what they're talking about or whatever, like it never goes well, and it never ends in someone hearing you out or like understanding your side if you get like angry and mean. So as hard as it is, because it, you know, a lot
you also don't need to waste your energy, like
true,
because of what you're saying, like because what you're saying is so right. Like, just think of it as like, don't waste your energy.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't warrant you having to spend so much of your whatever soul to get into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you said. I think you tweeted it, and then I reposted it on our No BS Nutrition Instagram account. It was in the new year, and you said, what did you say? It was something about like a friend who's starting a diet.
Oh, if someone's starting a diet.
Yeah, like to show them compassion rather than like rolling your eyes and
because everyone's doing it.
Right.
Everyone's
and it's normalized to do those things, and people see those things as the healthy things. Like, they think they're doing something for their health by going on a diet, and it's not their fault that they think that. It's society's fault that tells them that's the healthy thing to do. So it's important to like approach any conversations around it. And especially if you're going to like shut it down and say, actually, you know what, intermittent fasting isn't that beneficial. You know, it doesn't have all those benefits, or the keto diet is actually quite restrictive and blah, blah, blah. Like, shut those things down with compassion and try to like be nice when you do it, rather than being like inflammatory or as I know, as annoying it as it is, and as like as angry as we might get about it.
That's a really good point. Recently, this wasn't diet culture related, but recently someone I was talking to kind of made light of an activist's work with abolition and defunding the police and defunding prisons, and I was in a group conversation in that moment, and I thought, you know, this is not going to be the avenue for me to be able to like talk to them and say like, you know, what you said was kind of problematic, and and you're downplaying. And it was, there were actually, this activist is like someone we all knew, et cetera, like someone we would be talking to in the future. It's like, I think if you're going to be in conversations with this person, like this warrants like a degree of respect, because we're going to be engaging with them.
Right.
So, and because we were in a group setting, I was like, this was not the place, or like, I don't feel comfortable doing in a group setting. So I then sent them an email like right after the conversation, like right in the moment. So they didn't forget. So it's still fresh. And I really did try to channel that whole, you know, responding with compassion thing. And I said, I think I phrased it like, and I really, I value this person. I think they're a really good person. And I think it was an opportunity for them to maybe have like this conversation to hopefully get them to see a new perspective. And I said, you know, it sounded like you were really interested in this work and that maybe you wanted to learn more about abolition and learn more about this sort of activism. I know this was a really complicated learning experience for me, and I had to do a lot of research myself to really grasp what it means to reform justice and what it means to, you know, defund the police. Like, what do those words actually mean? And what does it mean for society? And I like explained, like, and I was being honest. I was like, you know, this was a real journey for me, and it required a lot of conversations and a lot of learning. And then I said, you know, here are some resources that I found really helpful and like I wish I had in the very beginning. And I forwarded those on. And that seemed to work really well. I got a really positive email back being like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to whatever. I was like, don't worry. Like, I just thought I would send this along because this information was really helpful for me. And maybe it might be I think you might be interested in seeing what these resources have to say. So it pays off. It definitely is a skill that I'm still building. And I think is a skill that like people need to practice. Like, it doesn't come so easy because these conversations are often very inflammatory and can be really personal and emotional. And it does take a lot of patience to have that compassion, and I'm still learning to build that patience up. So I definitely feel you out there if you're somebody who wants to have those conversations and finds it difficult to be compassionate. But I think, Hannah, you're totally right. It does have a greater payoff in most situations.
Yeah, I think so. Wow, that's really awesome, though, that I don't know, the way that you approach that and that you got a good response. Oh, thanks. Too. No, that's good.
It was one of those emails I had to read like 7 times. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. But I think that's, it's a nice way to frame it, even it, like relating to diet talk or diet cultures. You can say like, you know, I've had to do a lot of learning and these are some resources and you can include
here
that,
are
that
some
sort
episodes
of
No BS nutrition.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah.
I did have one more point. A lot of our stuff overlapped. I have one thing that, kind of one and a half things. If you're in a group setting and you were affected by something that somebody said, see if there's an ally in that setting that you can kind of go to either in person or virtually after to have a conversation with. It may be that they also felt the same way, and it might be like a really healthy, safe space for both of you to talk to each other and kind of break down what happened and, you know, have that support system of being like we both know what's real, like we both know diet culture sucks, like what they said was wrong, and like, okay, I'm like reaffirming and validating that like what I believe to be true is true, and like I do have worth, like, etc., all these things. Right, the other thing on the flip side of that, I would say, be an ally and show up for the person that you know around that dinner table or on that Zoom call is somebody who would have been affected by that kind of talk. And at a later point, maybe not too much later, go to them individually, privately, and say, I'm here for you. Mm. And I want to say, like, I was hurt by some of the things that were said during that conversation. And you can definitely come to me if you want to. No pressure. I'm not forcing you to have this conversation because maybe it's better for you not to rehash it right now. But I'm here and I'm somebody that you can work out your emotions with, and I'll be here to listen.
Yeah.
you don't, if you're a bystander in the moment and you're somebody who's not comfortable taking that, the person who's spewing diet culture on in the moment, don't be a bystander after the moment's over. You can show up for that person, and I'm sure they will really appreciate it. It will mean a lot to them.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point. And I was smiling because I know that, like, we've done that in certain situations before where, like, something has been said and we both just kind of, like, look at each other and we're like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, we're like, you know, we discuss it and kind of express that.
Well, one of our
support.
Group chats recently, something happened. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder if, I was like, you know what? I think the best thing for me to do right now, because I know that person's intentions and I know they don't have bad intentions because I've heard them talk about how harmful diet culture is before. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to ignore this because I like don't have the emotional capacity
same.
To
I
deal with it right now.
Thought.
A, yeah. yeah. But I was like, also, hopefully everyone else will ignore it and they will see that no one reacted to what you said. So don't talk about that
so
anymore.
It's not funny. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. And, I know that there's definitely been situations, where one of us or the other person has come to the other person and said, oh,
exactly.
I know that might've been harmful. Do you want to talk about it? Or like, you know, we agree that like we're on the same page anyways. So
totally.
It is nice to have that.
Yeah. And I'd say, stick up for not just younger people, but also older folks too, who you know might be affected by that kind of stuff, because diet culture hits everybody at every age. And like we know, we've talked about how there's so many diets that like aren't just being targeted toward like the 16-year-old Valley girl in Los Angeles, but also to like the 60-year-old woman who's being told to eat like a bear, for example.
Right.
So like everybody's affected by this. And even if you think somebody's an adult and like, oh, they can take it, quote unquote, maybe they do need somebody to listen to them, because often maybe people aren't listening to them about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. That's a really good point.
Thank you. And I had one other thing,
okay,
which is maybe it's a bit blunt, but like, is this somebody you need in your life? Like, if you have like reoccurring encounters with this person who happens to eat in the same, well, like this isn't happening because of COVID, but like happens to be at the same, whatever, social situation that you're not really tied to, like, do you need to keep going? You know what I mean? Like,
do you need to
find
put in
out
the effort,
if there are, spaces where you can like eliminate those kinds of opportunities at all.
That's a good point. And I've thought that before too, because, you know, like I said, sometimes it's uncomfortable, depending on the situation you're in, to like set boundaries or to shut things down or whatever, because you may not be totally comfortable with the people that you're around, or maybe you want to make a good impression or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And something that I've learned recently, and I guess it can kind of apply to to this, is, you know, I've been in situations where, you know, it's people that I've recently met, or I'm not, you know, super good friends with, but I have friends that are friends with them, and, you know, I want to be perceived as, you know, I want to be liked, and I want to
cool girl.
Sure. So and there's been like diet talk brought up and comments made that, you know, I didn't really like and I didn't agree with and things like that. And in the moment, in most situations, I definitely didn't like have the energy to shut it down. So I mainly either like changed the subject or just didn't say anything. And then, you know, how am I going to tie this together? You know, sometimes I'm like, I wonder, like, should I have said something, or, you know, or should I have gone along with it? Like, would I have been, which is horrible, like, you know, would I have been more accepted if I did that? But then I recently have come across some quotes, and it's more so about like when you're wondering, and this ties into you saying like, do you need them in your life? It's like when you're wondering if someone liked you or liked what you said about something or something like that, it's like, stop worrying about if someone likes you and start worrying about if you even like them.
That's such a hard, oh my God. Oh, but growing up's like so hard. Like if you're like, even like 18 out there, like, I'm so sorry, like, it's so hard out there. We're here for you. So
hard.
Definitely I think that lesson is so important, Hannah. You're totally right. And you, as much time as we spend asking ourselves if people respect us and what we do, like, do you respect what you're doing? Like,
yeah.
Make sure you are aligned with your values first and, like, go forth in life that way.
Yeah.
It's hard to even find out what your values are. Oh my God. Being young is it's such a minefield out there, but
yeah. But it's like you said, like, do you really need this person in your life? It's like, do you even like this person, you know, enough to put the energy into, why are you so worried about, shutting something down, or why are you so worried about all that stuff? Like, are they even worth your energy? So I think that's a really good point. Yeah. Well, I hope that
these
are helpful.
Thank you for sharing those tips.
Thank you. And I hope you guys now feel a little more equipped to take on, diet talk in social situations, because I know that it's abundant.
When I'm with Hannah, I feel like we are literally like food SWAT team. Like, if somebody says something in our presence, I'm like, let's go. Like, total, like, martial arts, like, we're going to get you.
I know.
Hopefully with these tips, you kind of feel that way too.
Yeah.
Look out for other people as much as you look out for yourself, because I'm sure they will appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I will say, we've gone from Hannah's backdrop being a beautiful, sunlit, gorgeous townhouse to now we're kind of like a Blair Witch Project. and you're really in the dark now. And I guess it's a reminder that now we've neared the end of our episode and we can kind of get to a little tasty dessert. And by that I mean, has anything been tasty for you this week, Hannah?
Yes. So mine is non-food related. And it was just something that I don't know if it meant a lot to me, or it was just something I really enjoyed this week. So it's been hard. Let's start with that. It's been
hard. I'm laughing because it's so true.
Been hard. Like, I don't know. I have found the last, I don't know, I would say a couple months
unbearable.
Since the new year, like, really
how
hard.
I describe it.
With COVID still going on, we're approaching a year of the pandemic.
Ninth circle of hell.
Yeah. And, you know, especially being away from friends and family, and it's sometimes hard seeing, you know, your friends and family, getting to spend time together. And, you know, obviously we're in New Brunswick, our family and friends are in Nova Scotia, and restrictions are pretty light in Nova Scotia. And they're getting there here in New Brunswick, but we're not able to travel and see anyone, obviously. So that's been hard. And on the weekend, you know, I saw some friends that were getting together, and I was, you know, just feeling really sad that I was missing out, obviously, and things like that. And then I was like, I had no plans for the weekend, and I, you know, I had some work to focus on, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to reach out to our friends here in Moncton and see if they want to get together just for like a hangout, just the four of us. Because I feel like I really need that. And because I was, you know, feeling down. And that's what we did. We had like a really fun games night, just four of us. And we just like had some snacks and some games and like laughed so much. It was so much fun. And it was like just what I needed when I was feeling kind of down.
I
miss you too. So yeah, it was nice. And it was just like, I don't know, it reinforces that, like, you know, we've been through this pandemic, we're still in it, but it really is like it's like the little things, right, that are important, like seeing friends and those are the things that that matter. Yeah. So we're gonna cry.
It's a pandemic, and partly because I'm curious, I forced myself to try a new recipe, which I really shouldn't have. My kitchen's way too hot. There's no fume hood.
When you cook,
like you're boiling. So I made eclair. And I made choux pastry for the first time. And, you know, it's my tasty because I'm proud of myself that I tried it. I definitely don't have any of the right tools to even be trying this. My oven is terrible. I don't know why I even bothered.
Right.
But, you know, something came out. I dipped it in chocolate and there we were.
Beautiful.
And, that's my tasty, because I went out and tried it.
You did it.
I pushed
you tried
myself
something
and
new.
I tried something new, and that is my tasty.
I love it. Good for you. It's always nice to try something new in the kitchen, whether or not it goes well or whatever. Like, it's just the experience is valuable, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely. Thank
All
you,
right.
Hannah.
Thank you. All right. That was take two of this episode. So I'm glad we got through it, and I'm glad that you're still here listening. And don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to follow us.
We'll come into your house.
We will visit you eventually. Yeah. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can see all our links in the description for this episode. And
send us some recommendations.
We love the recommendations, so keep them coming. Yeah.
Keep them coming.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.